Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Well, sure. I mean, this is all about the fact that he has a pro-Hamas base, Sean. But listen, Eisenhower did the right thing back in 57 when he sent the 101st Airborne to Little Rock. Why not do it for Jewish Americans?
Be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists.
I hate these guys.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
But for example, I remember starting off playing Catholic League football, CIO football.
So I was a lot bigger then because I was on stilts. Yeah, that's it. Too tall for Megan, they called me.
Runner-up at state, scoring, you know, what the heck?
Wow.
You know, you don't look big enough to play football.
Oh, well, you see, I had a lot of injuries, and they changed my physique.
I don't see any scars.
Yeah, well, they were internal injuries.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
This Columbia University student, Kymani James, K-H-Y-M-A-N-I, Kymani James, who says Zionists don't deserve to live. The video has just surfaced the last couple of days on the internet. He's a former student representative on the Boston School Committee. It all comes back to Boston, doesn't it? I was wondering how he had his picture taken with Ayanna Pressley, but that explains it. And by the way, he's trans non-binary, too. Check out his pictures on the Daily Mail.
It is ma'am.
So much going on, and you should see these letters the Emerson students are writing the Herald. This is going to interfere with their success. Don't get arrested, okay? Don't get arrested, especially if you're assaulting a cop, if you want to be successful. But anyway, we're going to move on. We have other fish to fry here today. And joining us, as he does every Friday evening, and the last Friday of the month, is Dr. Matt Callahan. Dr. Matt, are you there?
We have more sourdough to bake, as they say.
Oh, man, we got to get to that right away here in a second. After I let you tell everybody where they can reach you during the week.
Yeah, I run the Ipswich Animal Hospital on Route 1 and on the Ipswich Rowley line, and my number is 978-948-8189.
Okay, we're going to take your calls. We already have a lot of calls up there, but we'll take your calls throughout the entire hour. If you have a question about your pet, give us a call, 844-500-4242, or you can text your question to Howie at 617-213-1066. Yesterday, I just mentioned in passing on the air that Roscoe, my year-and-a-half-old pug, is
a beautiful dog, a talented dog.
He's extremely talented, and he really, really loves sourdough bread. And I get some nice fresh stuff from Publix. They have it at all big supermarkets now, and it's made in-house, and it's really delicious. And I toast it, and then I slather it with butter. I usually have one piece in the morning, and Roscoe throws himself at me to get to the sourdough bread.
Roscoe knows how the game is played.
He does. And so I mentioned it, and apparently Dr. Matt was listening, and he called up and said he wanted to correct me and tell me what a bad dog daddy I am for Roscoe. Why is it bad to give him a couple of crusts of sourdough bread? And it's multigrain, by the way.
Well,
Dr.
there
Matt.
You go.
That means it must be good.
It's getting
right?
better and better. Jeez, it's positively health food, especially slathered with butter. You know, what are they physiologically? They are called facultative carnivores, which means they're mainly meat eaters that can eat other things.
They're like us.
Sourdough bread slathered with butter. They certainly eat the same foods as us, yeah. But the same foods that are relatively unhealthy for us are relatively unhealthy for them. So I sort of as treats, I generally rank them. I call red light treats, and red light treats are sort of the dog biscuit type of treats because there's just no health benefit to it. A more neutral treat would be meat. I mean, because dogs actually are meat eaters, you know. So when you said sausage, I didn't get too worked up about it. And you were right that no one feeds their dog, you know, a giant hunk of sausage. They give their dog a piece of sausage.
Right.
Or in my dog's case, we use chicken jerky because she likes chicken jerky. So what am I going to do? So, and then the truly healthy treats are the truly healthy stuff for us. So, you know, I had a client in this morning that said her dog loves green beans. I go, you know, things you're never going to hear from your cardiologist or your veterinarian is, I see by the record here that you're eating way too many green beans. You know, they're just healthy. You're healthy for having eaten them. So that's why I tend to gravitate towards those sort of treats, or at least meat treats for the more finicky dogs, and relatively few pure carb treats because they're already getting tons of carbs in their regular dog food.
You lived in the South.
I lived in the South for 8 years, Athens,
like.
Georgia.
You know what they like. You know what they do in the South. They put green beans, and then they throw pork bellies in there.
Well,
and you give a dog some pork bellies and some green beans in about 2 minutes. The green beans are still going to be there, and the pork bellies are going to be gone.
I had a grandfather who was his dog was getting too fat, and so I said, "Does he eat broccoli?" He goes, "Yeah, he loves broccoli." So I said, "Feed him broccoli as a treat." And then about 6 months later, the dog was heavier, and I went to his house, and he was cooking the dog broccoli in heavy cream. Yeah. I go, yeah, you got me. You win. Eat him whatever you want. Yeah. I knew I had lost the game at that point.
But so it's not terrible to give him a little bit of crust.
No, not occasionally. If it's not, you know, hey, I give my dog half a slice of sourdough every day, that's a bit much.
No.
But a crust every once in a while, absolutely not. You know, a treat is what it is. It's a treat. And as long as you understand that that's not part of his regular diet and it is just a treat every once in a while, then you're fine. But we'll scuttlebutt on the street is Roscoe will be in town here next week.
And, yes, he will.
And he's going to be getting on the scale at some point. The mailroom manager and I have plotted his weigh-in. So we'll see what's up.
Uh-oh. My daughter Charlotte's in town. She's a critic of my stewardship, my culinary stewardship.
So I'm not saying there's going to be, you know, we're going to be ganging up on you, but we'll see what his weight is.
But, okay, all right. Roscoe, you're on a diet. No meatloaf tonight when I get home.
What's wrong with meatloaf? It's
meat. We need a Roscoe weight chart for the website.
All right, will do.
All right, okay, we're going to take some calls here at 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. With us is Dr. Matt. Give us the phone number one more time before we go to our first call about a pug.
My number at the Ipswich Animal Hospital is 978-948-8189.
All right. Wally, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Wally.
Good afternoon, Howie and Dr. Matt. Yeah, I've had several pugs over the year, and they love to eat.
All dogs love to eat, Wally.
Some more than others.
True. Well, you mentioned your daughter, and it's just like my daughter's always giving me grief about slipping my pug filet mignon once in a while, and I just can't help myself.
Well,
but anyway, it's the parents, you know. I got to blame myself. I can't help it. They have those eyes. They look at you. And
I know. I was going to say that, those big brown eyes. But, you know, Dr. Matt, I mean, it's like, but I take Roscoe out for a lot of walks. I'm sure Wally does, too. I mean, if you take the dog out for walks, or you just let him run free if you got a fenced-in backyard, I mean, that's going to take care of a lot of the calories, isn't it?
I'm definitely pro-exercise. So everything I'm about to say is going to make me think I'm not pro-exercise. I'm absolutely pro-exercise. And if there's a dog that you can exercise weight off of or exercise for weight loss, it might be a Frenchie or a Pug or an English Bulldog because they're just not very efficient exercisers. Although I think a lot of Pugs are pretty good athletes. If you look at the big studies on weight and health and exercise and food, exercise doesn't play a huge role in their health. It's
really
it's weight that plays a huge role in their health.
And but I mean, can't you take the weight off the way you take it off? I mean, humans, I mean, I know it's basically food for us too, but you can take weight off with exercise.
You can, but the amount of exercise you have to do with a dog is enormous. I had a client that came in with his Labrador, and he said, well, I walk her for an hour a day. And I go, okay, how about 4 hours? And he said, no. And so, you know, that's the amount that you have to exercise a Labrador for weight loss, 4 to 5 hours. People aren't going to do that. I'm not going to do it.
No.
So really, go enjoy your exercise with him. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good for the dog. It's good for you. But you do control weight with food. 95% of it's food.
Wally, how much does your pug weigh?
Uh-oh.
Well, my pug is 8 months old, and I think he's big for a pug. He weighs 18 pounds right now, the last time he was at the vet. So, you know, and when we first got him, I was worried because he didn't like to eat as much as our first pug. But he seems, his appetite seems to be better
Oh,
now.
Thank God. Yeah, but, whew, that was a close one.
Wally, again, the doctor's giving you the needle.
Oh, my God.
18 pounds in 8 months is pretty hefty. I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every dog is different, so 18 might be normal for one dog and not normal for another. So.
Well, I just like, you know, again, he's you know, that I had a different question, but again, this is an issue for pugs. They get heavy, and, you know, you can't walk them when it's too hot out either.
Absolutely, you know? Not. Then you won't have to worry about having a pug, yeah, if you walk them when it's too hot, so. So, yeah, you control their diet, feed them the right stuff, and they will. You know, the frustrating thing is if you look at the big studies, and there's been two of them, University of Pennsylvania had the biggest one, and what they said was is dogs are really in two groups. We think they're in many more groups, but they're really in two groups, ideal weight and overweight. And overweight dogs don't live as long, and they're not as healthy. And that's why I harp on it. If it gave them, you know, 2 months longer life and they were just as healthy, I wouldn't bother with it. But the numbers are really pretty stunning and pretty unambiguous. So
they're like humans again.
Yep.
Like
yes, humans. Yes, much like humans. Yes.
Right. Yep. All right. Thank you, Wally. 844-500-4242. With us, he'll take calls all hour, is Dr. Matt, the vet. And again, what's your number and where can people reach you, Dr. Matt?
People can reach me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital, and my number is 978-948-8189.
All right, great. We'll be right back. 844-500-4242. And again, text your questions to Howie at 617-213-1066. I'm Howie Carr.
Want more from The Howie Carr Show?
Yes, always.
Watch Howie live at rumble.com/The Howie Carr Show. He's not just another pretty face.
I mean, he's an extraordinarily good-looking man.
He's Howie Carr.
There's a little bit of a bromance going on there.
The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Northeast Hair Restoration. This April and May, save $1,000 off their new PFE hair restoration procedure and listen to my Meet the Expert podcast with the doctors. They're the best at what they do, and this is a new state-of-the-art procedure. Go to PFEHair.com, PFEHair.com, or call 1-800-208-HAIR, 1-800-208-HAIR. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is Harvard says the state's proposed wealth tax on its $50 billion endowment would cripple it should the legislature pass the $1.5 billion yearly Harvard tax. Yes, no, or the tax should be even higher.
The tax should be even higher.
33% say the tax should be higher. 61% say pass it. 6% say don't pass it.
All right. 844-500-4242. Someone says Wally's pug is big boned, doctor.
Yes. Yeah, true, I'm sure.
Yes, we've heard that one
before.
We've
all been there before, yeah.
Yes.
Husky.
Dr. Matt, this is 508. Do cats miss people? My son just came home from 4 months abroad, and the cat seems indifferent. Typical cat thing, I suppose.
I think she's right. It is typical cat. Cats tend to be more location anchored than person anchored. And when I moved a mile away, my cat kept running away back to my old house. But I did have a client just this week whose cat was so upset it developed a bunch of behavior abnormalities because when they went on vacation for a week. And so I think that cat was more like a dog, more people attached rather than location attached.
When we go on vacation and come home, our cat has an attitude with us.
Yeah, right.
She gets
yeah.
angry.
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, in dogs and cats, I'm really surprised they don't have more separation issues because they don't know whether you're going to Cumberland Farms or you're going to Guam or you're flying to Mars, you know, that you're never coming home. I mean, they have to have some sort of intuition about that you are going to come back.
Vicious pit bull grabs owner's jugular, mauls him to death in New York City apartment. This is a story from today in the New York Post.
Yeah.
Cops responded just after 3 a.m. to a 911 call for a dog biting its owner, a 41-year-old man, in Longwood. The dog latched onto the man's jugular, and he was gushing blood. Two officers opened fire, striking the dog multiple times.
Wow.
They found a half-eaten piece of sourdough toast.
Yes, it was slathered with butter, I hear.
apparently, the 41-year-old
wouldn't share.
Didn't share enough. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Howie and Dr. Matt. Thank you for taking my call. My questions are, can a Maine Coon cat live to be 20 years old? How long do most Maine Coon cats live?
I don't think there's necessarily a breed-specific age range. Lots of cats can live to 20. Siamese cats seem to be overrepresented in that group. So I would say probably 50% of the 20-plus-year-old cats I've ever seen are Siamese. But there's no reason why a Maine Coon cat cannot live to be 20 or past 20. None at all.
Thanks for the call, Jim. And Dr. Matt, what's your phone number if people want to get in touch with you?
They can call me at 978-948-8189.
Marcy, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Marcy.
Oh, hi, Howie and Dr. Matt. I have a question. I have a three-year-old healer lab mix, and three times in these past 3 years, she's had these strange behavior of licking and licking and licking the carpet, the entire carpet.
Yeah.
And then kind of retching and gagging and going out and eating grass and looking utterly miserable.
Yeah.
And the last time this happened, I was gonna take her for a walk, figure she'd feel better. And I tried to put her harness on, and it was too tight.
Yeah.
She was tight as a drum.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the local vet and talked to the vet assistant, and I said, I think maybe she has bloat. And the vet assistant said, no, if she had bloat, she'd be dead.
Well, she's got a point. I mean, if she had true gastric dilatation and volvulus, then, you know, that is fatal if not treated. So the fact that we're still talking about it probably means that she didn't completely have a twist, which is what a volvulus is. It's sort of a three-dimensional twisting of the stomach. But certainly they can have, you know, sort of gastric dilatation with gas and stuff like that. And I can't, what I was going to say when you were starting to describe the symptoms is your dog is nauseous. So I absolutely positively would have your dog at the vet if the dog is exhibiting these signs, because certainly it could wind up being bloat or true GDV bloat.
Bloat is very serious, though.
Very bad, bad. Yeah.
Bad. Okay, we'll be right back with Dr. Matt. Give us a call, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Dr. Matt, the vet, is with us here, as he is every Friday, last Friday evening of the month. And he's taking your questions about your pets. Call us at 844-500-4242 or text us at 617-213-1066. Dr. Matt, where can people reach you if they need your services?
People can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital, and it's 978-948-8189.
Is eating grass bad for dogs?
I don't think it's inherently bad unless you treat your grass, and then it's bad. But my dogs have always gone out and munched on a little grass. It's not a problem. It's why are they eating grass sometimes if your dog is like the last caller. If the dog is suddenly eating a ton of grass and they're clearly sick, they're doing it for a reason. You know, they're trying to fix a problem, which they're very bad at, by the way. Grass is a very bad solution to most problems. So, yeah, but dogs that just go out and eat a little bit of grass, I used to call my old golden retrievers the Guernsey cows because they'd go out in the front yard and munch on grass for 10 minutes. So no big deal.
I think when we were kids, they told us that eating grass was really bad. It was a sign dogs were sick, but that's not necessarily true.
No, not necessarily true. No, absolutely not. Yeah. Some dogs are sick, but those dogs are otherwise sick.
Someone wants to know if peanut butter is okay for dogs.
I don't think it's inherently bad. So, I mean, it is. It depends on the sugar content and the fat content. I don't think it's inherently bad. I use it a lot with my dogs. I put it in a Kong and put it in the freezer so they can have some, you know, chewing time and give me a break for a few minutes. So, I mean, as long
frozen
as
frozen peanut butter? Really?
Yeah. As long as it's not overdone, it seems to be fine. Like, you know, like sourdough, small amounts. So
what you're saying is what the ancient Greeks used to say, everything in moderation.
Hormesis is that in science, and it really is interesting. Many chemicals that you consider bad for you are actually healthier in small amounts.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Jonathan, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hi, Howie. And I have a French bulldog. He's 2.5 years old. We had him neutered. We live on Cape Cod. And I'm just wondering, what should we be looking out for as far as any health issues that he may have?
Well, I think that obviously neutering a dog adds years to their life. I mean, as every study suggests that neutering does help them, so I'm a fan of that. As we talked about with pugs, all dogs with upper airway air management problems, keeping them thin and keeping them fit are two really good things.
Keeping them cool too in the summer.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So now we're coming in the summer, and pugs and Frenchies and English Bulldogs and Boston Terriers just don't manage the heat as well because dogs use air exchange to control their temp. So you always want to be, with every dog, you want to be very careful about heat management, but with Frenchies, you want to be extra careful. Frenchies can live very healthily late into life. So it's not that they have to have more problems, but they do tend to have airway problems. Skin problems are pretty common with them too. So I'd watch out for those.
And on Cape Cod, you don't have to worry about an urban problem with French bulldogs, which is them being dog-napped.
Yes, I don't think Hyannis is the Frenchie kidnapping capital.
No, unlike L.A. with Lady Gaga. It's happened a lot in D.C. too, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? All right, let's see. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. So I got one quick question is, I have a 6-month-old blue heeler and a 10-year-old Sheltie.
Yep.
And at what point can I start feeding them the same food? I feed them Purina Pro Puppy, yep. Purina Pro Adult. And right now I'm feeding them Purina Pro Puppy for both because, well, it's like $30-$35.
Right.
So yep. I'm trying to think, and I thought the adult dog could get more nutrients out of the puppy food. Am I wrong?
You can be wrong. Puppy food was initially Puppy Chow by Purina, and they didn't do a whole lot of research on it. And then it became so wildly popular that they started to do some research on it. And whoops, the PR was a little bit ahead of the science on that one. But that was the early 70s, so about 50 years ago. But I think that puppy food, especially large breed puppy food, is actually lower in nutrition than some adult foods. And the goal with those foods is to get the dog to grow slowly, and slowly really synchronously, so their joints grow in sync with one another, and one part of the joint doesn't grow faster or slower than another part.
So it's deliberate.
Yes. And so,
but they don't announce that, do they?
No, they do not. But if you look at like the Angel Memorial studies in the early 90s, what they suggested is that diet adult dog food was the best puppy food. And so the use of puppy foods is really, the studies really show it only works until about 6 months, and then it doesn't work after that. Even though, you know, I see from the puppy food manufacturers that they want you to feed your dog puppy food until they're about 53 years old. So, you know, it's amazing how, you know, the science gets twisted. So you can keep your dogs on puppy food. There's no real harm in puppy food. The nutrients are actually pretty similar, sometimes actually even a little bit less. Or you can switch them both to adult food, and that's perfectly okay. At this point, they can both eat the same food after 6 months. They could before, too.
You know, I hear people talking more, and maybe it's about Bidenomics, about how much the price of dog food, cat, and pet food in general has gone
up. Yeah, it's gone way up.
Is there any way, I know you probably don't want to mention specific brands, but is there any way to see which are the most overpriced?
Well,
types,
brands? Here's the frustrating thing. I tell clients this 50 times a day. I believe there's better foods than others, right? I use the word believe because there's not a ton of science behind what I just said, and you'll never see on a bag of dog food makes your dog healthier. So if I could have an ideal weight dog on a C-plus dog food rather than an overweight dog on an A-plus dog food, I would take it.
Right.
Because I think food does impact health, but only if you have a dog that's otherwise healthy from weight. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. So,
but are there any websites that
there was one called reviews.com that had sort of a review process that I thought made sense. You know, they rated dog foods based on you know, the source of the protein is either the United States, Argentina, or Australia.
Yeah.
So, and I thought that made sense, and they hadn't had a recall in so many months or so many years. I thought that made sense. And that the manufacturer on the bag is the manufacturer on the food, of the food. So, you know, people can pick on Purina all day long. I take my shots at Purina too. But I know if there's a problem with Purina food, I know who to call, right? Purina. Mm-hmm. you know, some of these other foods, you go, well, hey, wait a second. You know, there's no such thing as this brand of dog food.
Well, is it possible that, like, you know, like some of the many generic brands are made by the people who you don't want to support just because you're tired of buying from them? I mean, is Purina making some of these
yeah,
brands that you buy?
I'll be honest, I don't know. But, you know, you always check, you know, with all those foods. It's like the Kirkland food, you know. Who's
yeah,
making
that's
the
what
Kirkland
I mean. Yeah.
foods, right? You know, so, but generally, and I think generally, I trust Kirkland products because I found them to be pretty good. So I would be surprised if they made a lousy dog food and everything else was good.
Yeah. Limerick guy says, is it okay for cats to eat grass?
Yeah, totally okay. Yeah, as long as they're not barfing it up on your bedspread. Yeah.
512, it's so annoying I need a prescription to order flea and tick pills, Simparica for my dog online. Makes it a lot harder to shop around for the best deal each time.
Yeah, and you know, there's sort of two views about that is, if there's a problem, it's usually best to go through your veterinarian. Veterinarians, as a business thing, want to keep that business as much as possible because they have to pay, you know, health insurance for their employees and have to rent a building and have to buy equipment. So they're trying to make a little bit of a profit everywhere. So, but most veterinarians, certainly we do, when we get a prescription from 1-800-PetMeds or Chewy for Simparica, we just sign it and send it back in. If you want to buy it from the online, go ahead and buy it online.
Mm-hmm. So you just got to find the right vet, I guess.
I think most of them work that way. Maybe not all of them, but it's usually pretty straightforward. I don't think we've ever had anyone complain that they can't get a prescription item online.
Mm-hmm. Paula, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Paula.
Hi, Dr. Matt and Howie. I just wanted to ask you, I have he's a big boy, 100-pound English cream retriever, and I switched him to Farmer's Dog. You don't have to comment if it's not good.
No, that's fine.
But I mean, you know what I mean, if it's not feasible for you to comment. But I also like to, he loves bully sticks.
Yep.
And I get odorless bully sticks. Are they okay for him to have, like, maybe twice a week? Or
yeah, you know what a bully stick is, though, right?
What is a bully
yes,
stick?
Yes, I do, okay. Unfortunately.
Oh, okay. I think I know what it is.
If you say the word a few times, you'll figure out what it is, right? It's just a matter of repeating it a couple of times.
Like a cousin to Rocky Mountain Oysters.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like a fool for even asking.
As I said, dogs are facultative carnivores, and it's a meat product. And so inherently, I don't have a problem with it as long as the dog's weight is doing okay. Lots of times when you switch a dog onto a fresher food, they do naturally lose weight because they're a little more satiated and they're getting a little bit less carbohydrate in their food. So I'm anti-carbohydrate in dog food for the most part. I don't want it to be zero, but I think in dry dog food, quite often carbohydrate content is higher than it should be.
Gunnar loved Farmer's Dog, by the way.
Yeah.
Dr. Matt, I think you remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thanks for the call, Paula.
And did he love sourdough, too? I'm just checking. I'm suspecting
you know
did.
What? I switched over to sourdough.
From a carbohydrate, from a bread perspective, sourdough is actually better than, you know, like regular bread.
Sourdough is really good. It beats. Yeah. I'd rather have one than Thomas's English muffins, right. Actually.
There you go.
You
know? Yeah.
But it's a fairly new thing for me. 844-500-4242. Debbie, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Debbie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick question. I just lost my corgi, who was 12 years old.
Yeah.
And he had cancer. And in the area where, you know, he would be neutered, and I was told when he got neutered that that would help him later on, and he wouldn't have that problem. So now my new corgi, I can't convince myself to get him neutered.
Yeah.
But what is the reason?
Well, neutering male dogs will certainly prevent testicular cancer. And if he had cancer in that area, it doesn't mean he had cancer of his testicles because he didn't have testicles. So certainly we see less prostatic disease, less testicle cancer, and dogs just live longer when they're neutered. So the biggest reason is dogs live longer. It's not a guarantee. I mean, my parents' fat dog lived to be 15, and my skinny golden retriever died at 6 of liver cancer. So, I mean, nothing's a guarantee in life, but it's not a reason not to neuter the dog. It's just a reason to believe that things statistically are better, but with your individual dog, it may not be better.
Thanks for the call, Debbie. 844-500-4242. We'll take a few final calls when we come back. And again, you can text me a question for Dr. Matt at 617-213-1066. Text Howie to that number, 617-213-1066. What's your phone number again, Dr. Matt, if people need your services during the week?
People can call me at 978-948-8189.
Okay, we'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show. Listening to the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. I'll be off Monday, heading back to Massachusetts with the mailroom manager and Roscoe, the sourdough eating pug, sitting in the middle. Is there anything I need to prepare for Roscoe's first plane trip?
If he sits pretty quietly, right?
Yes.
Yeah, then I don't think so. There are some dogs that are, you know, we recommend either some herbal sedation or actual sedation, but I don't think Roscoe needs it. Does he get in a seat?
Yes, he does. Nice. He's got a little, we bought one of these little, carriers, and he's going to have the middle seat. And
upstanding.
It's the only way to fly.
It's Jim Backus. It's not exactly a private jet, Taylor, you know?
It is for Roscoe.
Yeah. 603, Dr. Matt, my elderly chocolate lab drags her butt on the ground every time she goes outside. What makes a dog do this?
Usually full anal glands or that they're itching. And this is allergy time, so it could be allergy or it could be full anal glands.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be. It doesn't matter if it's elderly or young, right?
No. I mean, he can have something worse in his anal glands because he's older. So, I mean, he could potentially have an infection or he could potentially have cancer, but those are relatively infrequent. And if you bring them to your vet should be able to fix that problem.
Okay. And Dr. Matt, if people need to bring their dog or cat to you, what's the phone number they should use?
They can call me if their dog is rubbing their butt on the ground. They can call me at 978-948-8189.
Robert, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Robert.
Hello, Mr. Carr. Do you remember Hi. A couple of years ago, you and Grace were doing a remote at JB Auto in North Weymouth?
Yes.
And we fed my 17-year-old pug dog a beef jerky teriyaki flavored. And then after you took a slide at 6 p.m., Taylor was still pissed about it and was talking about it at Dr. Matt, throwing you under the bus. I just had to remind you of that. Frank is gone now. He made it to 18.
Not bad. Nothing to complain about.
Same as Gooner. Yeah. That's good. That's good lifespan for a pug.
It is.
Or any dog, really, actually.
Yes.
You got a replacement pug, Robert?
Not yet. I'm not ready.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Howie. I got to fence my yard in because I couldn't keep up with a puppy now.
Yeah. No, you got to be prepared. I was ready, though, for Roscoe to come. 512 says Roscoe needs a weed gummy. Laughing. I don't think Roscoe needs a weed gummy. Do you?
No, I do not think Roscoe needs a weed gummy.
Nor does anyone else's dog.
I'm not a current partaker of weed in any form, but in the distant past, I never found that weed improved my anxiety. Thought it amplified my anxiety. Yeah, bourbon gummy. Yeah. We have a scotch gummy for her.
All right. We got two calls left. Can you stick around for the last call after
Absolutely.
We leave here? Okay. Hold on, Bob, because we'll get you to you in just a moment if we don't get you on the air. Annie, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Annie.
Hi. I'm on the Cape, and I have a 9-year-old Chesapeake Bay Retriever who lately has been sneezing
yep.
a lot.
Yep.
Could that be allergy?
Absolutely.
Cold? Should I be worried?
Yeah.
He's
so,
never done it.
So yeah. How? And he's 9 years old. It's a little late to start with allergy, but it certainly could be allergy. I saw a dog today that was 10, and I really was pretty convinced that it was his first season of allergy. But dogs can exhibit allergy as hay fever, which is infrequent, or as eczema, which is the most frequent. But also, especially hunting dogs can be. They're sniffing all the time, so they can sniff up stuff. They get foreign bodies in their nose and in their sinuses. So have that checked.
Okay. Annie, thank you. Bob, hang on. Dr. Matt, give us your phone number one last time.
978-948-8189.
Okay. I'll see everybody Tuesday back in Boston. I'm Howie Carr.